بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 37th session, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, explanation of 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi, of Al-Imam ibn Rajab, رحمهم الله, the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Tonight, inshallah, we intend to look at the 32nd hadith from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick look at the hadith number 31, or the study guide dealing with hadith number 31, that is from lecture number 36. And because that was some time ago, when we had a break for the series dealing with the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, we're going to kind of go through the study guide a little bit quickly. Due to the fact that probably that particular session is probably escaped from our memory by now. But in any case, we're going to look at questionnaire study guide number 36 for hadith number 31, and then we're going to look at the following hadith. So the first question from that session 1 month ago was, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 31. So, it probably could be... Fadl.
Obtaining things in a halal manner, how to attain the love of Allah, how to attain zuhd, the desire to attain the love of the people by halal means, and how to attain the love of the people.
Okay. How to attain the love of Allah and how to attain the love of the people, through those means that are lawful and permissible. So the topic of that hadith is related to, the means of attaining Allah's love, that is, by a zuhud, by abstaining from and being indifferent and not desirous of the things of this world, and likewise, by not being desirous of the things that are in the possession of the people will love you. A zuhud, that is abstaining from and not being desirous of the things of this world or that which the people possess. Question number two, who is the rawi narrator of this hadith and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi of this hadith, fadl.
Abu Abbas, Sa'd ibn al-Sa'd al-Sa'di.
Abu Abbas, Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi, radiallahu anhu. And the muhaddith who collected this hadith mentioned by Imam Nawawi is Al-Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah, and it was collected by others as well. The third question, this hadith indicates that one may earn the mahabba, the love of Allah, by means of what?
By observing
az-zuhud, abstention from the things of this world is a means through which a person may earn the love of Allah. Question number four, what is the best of what has been said concerning the clarification of how this is actually done? How does a person observe a zuhud? What is the best? The Shaykh said the best of what has been said concerning this in the clarification of what is intended by a zuhud, he said it is, fadl.
That a person leaves off everything that busies him from the obligation and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
تَرْكُ الْإِنسَانِ كُلُّ مَا يُشْغِلُهُ عَنِ اللَّهِ. That a person gives up, leaves off, everything that busies them, that occupies them, that distracts them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one's relationship with Allah. Number five, mention three other opinions of the people of Iraq conveyed by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab in his explanation of this hadith. And he mentioned three other opinions. One of them, Abdul Wali,
Leaving
off meeting with the people, liqa al nas, socializing.
And abandon the fulfillment of their desires.
Seeking to fulfill one's desires. And the third one he mentioned,
Leave off eating until one is full.
Leave off overindulging in eating and drinking, like this. The sixth question, what is it that will make people, what will make people love you as mentioned in this hadith? What is it that would make people love you, people to be pleased with you, as mentioned in this particular hadith?
Do not not desire the, what the people have as far as their wealth.
Don't be desirous of, don't show interest in, don't be looking at that which the people possess, their property and their wealth and their goods. Question number 7, discuss briefly why people will love you and be pleased with you if you do the above. Yani, if you don't show any desire, interest in their belongings, in their property, in their wealth, why is it that people will love you? Okay, so the Shaykh mentioned a number of things. He said, first and foremost, that people are desirous of the things of this world. Yani, wealth and property and the goods of this world. And most of the people want to hold on to, are not willing to give up that which they possess. And therefore, when a person doesn't show interest in what they possess, doesn't show any desire for what they possess, then they will be pleased with that person. Yani, they don't like a person showing interest in what they have, but if a person shows that they are, yani, without need of what they possess, then they will be pleased with that person and they will love that person. Because what? Because that person is not interested in their property and their goods and their wealth and that which they do not want to give up. The last question mentioned 4 of the 5 fawaid benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. 4 of the 5 benefits. 1.
The desire of the Sahaba to earn the love of Allah.
The desire, yani, the keenness of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek that which would earn for them the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, foremost, and as well the love of the people. Naam. Another point. Naam.
The confirmation of the sifat of love.
Naam. The confirmation, the affirmation that al-mahabba, love, yani loving, is a characteristic or quality affirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point.
The absolute good for the humbling is that Allah loves, for the human being, is that Allah loves.
Naam, the absolute good, al-khayr al-mutlaq, yani the real khayr, the real yani thing that is good, yani for the human being, more importantly than anything else, is that they earn the love of Allah, that Allah loves someone. And the last 2 points that the Shaykh mentioned, Naam, that from those things which earn the love of Allah is abandoning, yani abstaining from not being desirous of the world, and from those things that earn the love of the people is not being desirous of what they possess. I forgot this here. Somebody take this and just pass it around. There's some study guides for this week's class, and attendance as well. Faith. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at the Shaykh's brief explanation of the 32nd hadith from Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith. And the Shaykh, yani we mentioned several times in the past, in the introduction to this book, he mentioned that he is intending to make his explanation of these hadith yani moderate, not to be very lengthy or detailed, or closer to ikhtisar, yani that they will be summarized. He won't go into a lot of detail. And so this hadith, yani its meaning is not, it doesn't require a lot of explanation. The Shaykh has explained it with some brevity. And because of that, inshallah, we're going to have an opportunity to look at another explanation, the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan. Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Which he actually explains the hadith from a different angle. So we're going to look at this hadith from 2 different angles. One is going to be a brief summary of some of the most important explanations that scholars have given of the meaning of this hadith, briefly though. And the second is going to be another view of how this hadith could be explained. So the hadith that we're looking at tonight, and I don't know, does anybody have the English translation, what page we're on? Okay, in any case, it's hadith number 32. In Arabic, it begins on page 112. And it is al-hadith al-thani wa thalathun, the 32nd hadith, an Abi Sa'id, Sa'ad ibn Malik ibn Sinan al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. And in the authority of Abu Sa'id, his name was Sa'ad, the son of Malik, the son of Sinan, yani al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, la darara wa la dirara. Yani that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La darara wa la dirara. This is a very brief hadith, just a few words, and for that reason, there's no excuse for us not to memorize it. Yani to memorize verbatim. La darara wa la dirara. And the meaning here, yani the scholars have given various meanings. The Shaykh mentions four interpretations of the meaning of these two words. And Al-Imam, Shaykh Salih Fawzan mentions a fifth possible meaning of these two words. And we're going to look at them in detail. Yani a summary translation of the meaning of La darara wa la dirara could be there's no harming and there should be no reciprocating harming. Yani there should be no harming, one should not harm others, nor should one reciprocate in harming, and the explanation of this follows. This is a hadith hasan. He says, hadithun hasanun, it is a good and acceptable hadith. Rawahu ibn Majah, wa Dharqutni, wa ghayruhuma musnadan. This hadith has been reported by al-Imam ibn Majah and al-Imam al-Dharqutni. Both of them have narrated it musnadan. Yani, musnad, this is a technical hadith terminology, and the Shaykh and he will read a brief explanation of what is intended by that, but basically what is intended here is that it was mentioned with a chain of narration where the companion who narrates the hadith yani attributes it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani a hadith going back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where a companion, a sahabi, attributes it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa rawahu Malikun fil Muwatta عن عمرو ابن يحيى عن أبيه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مرسلا فأسقف أبا سعيد. This hadith has also been narrated with a different chain of narration from Imam Malik رحمه الله in his Muwatta on the authority of Amr ibn يحيى from his father, from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He narrated مرسلا, and this is also a technical term that its meaning, what is intended here, is that, yani, as he mentions, Al-Imam Nawawi mentions here, مُرْسَلًا فَأَسْقَطَ أَبَا سَعِيدٍ. So in this narration, the person who attributes it to the Prophet ﷺ has left out the mention of the companion, Abu Sa'id. So مُرْسَلًا, what is intended here, is that it is a hadith that's attributed by a tabi'i, not by a companion, second generation, who skipped over the mention of the companion and attributes it directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani musnadan, yani the companion attributes to the Prophet, mursalan, a tabi'i attributes it to the Prophet without the mention of the companion. Walahu turqun yuqawwi ba'daha ba'dha, and it has different yani chains of narration that some of them strengthen others. Yani they strengthen one another. So it is an acceptable good yani hadith, as he mentions here, hadithun hasan. So as far as the explanation of these technical terms, we might look at them, yani, according to how much time we have, in the explanation of Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he mentions briefly these two technical terminologies. Otherwise, yani, that's a summary of what is intended here. So with that being said, yani, we want to look at the first explanation of yani, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, where he briefly yani makes an introduction to the hadith, and then he quotes. Yani the rest of what he mentions is a quote from Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, where he mentions four different possible interpretations of the two words mentioned in this hadith, darar and dirar. He mentions four possible interpretations, and then we're going to mention a fifth one, that is mentioned by Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah. So the introduction to the hadith, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, he says, هذا الحديث مشتمل على قاعدة من قواعد الشريعة. Yani the first statement that he makes in his introduction is that this is a hadith that consists of or contains within it one of the Sharia principles, a قاعدة from the قواعد of the Sharia, a Sharia principle. So this hadith is a hadith that, yani, its core, its essence, is a principle in the Sharia that we can follow. Yani it's not just a side or subsidiary issue, it is a foundation issue that yani we can use as a principle or a foundation to apply to many, many different issues. So what is that qaida? He said, وَهِيَ رَفْعُ الدَّرَرْ وَالدِّرَارْ. Yani the raising up or the elimination or the negation of harming or reciprocating harm. According to one interpretation of these two words. Yani that a principle in the Sharia is that you should not harm anyone, nor should you reciprocate in kind to the one who harms you and harming them back. You should not harm someone on your own, initiating the harm, nor reciprocate in harming. And the various explanations will follow, inshallah. But that's the general meaning of it. Yani, the Shaykh says, this is a principle in the Sharia that there should be no harming or reciprocating harm. وَهُوَ الْخَبَرْ بِمَعْنَى النَّهِي عَنَ الدَّرَ وَالْضِرَارِ. So it is a statement, but the meaning of it is, it's prohibited to harm or to reciprocate. It's a statement, yani there's no harming or reciprocating harm, but the meaning of it is that it's a prohibition. There must not be harming or reciprocating harm. Yani it's prohibited to do so. وَالْضَرَرْ قَدْ يَحْصُلْ مِنَ الْإِنسَانِ بِقَصْدٍ أَوْ بِغَيْرِ قَصْدٍ وَالْضِرَارِ يَكُونُ مَعَ قَصْدٍ. The last thing that the Shaykh mentions in the introduction here is a distinction between الضرر and الضرار in reference to intentions. In reference to intentions, there is a distinction between these two words, الضرر and الضرار, and that is that الضرر, harming, might occur from a human being intentionally or without intention. Yani a person may harm someone intentionally or unintentionally. That's as far as the first word, yani ad-darar. As far as ad-dirar, it only happens intentionally. So here the Shaykh is just making a little distinction between these two words. One of them is harm that a person might cause intentionally or unintentionally, even unknowingly. But the other one, reciprocating harm, is not going to be unintentional. And if somebody harms you and then you come back to harm them, that's not unintentional, that's intentional. But the initial harming could be that a person intends to harm somebody, or they might harm somebody unintentionally and even unknowingly. Okay, so this is how he mentions the introduction, that this is, yani it contains a very important Sharia principle, that is the nullification or the negation or the prohibition of harming or reciprocating harm. And he said, this is a prohibition. Harming might occur intentionally or unintentionally. As far as reciprocating harming, then that is intentionally. Then here he quotes a long quote from Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab, from Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam. And in this quote, he mentions four possible interpretations from the various scholars of what is intended by ad-darar and ad-dirar. He says, قال الحافظ ابن رجب في جامع علوم الحكم second volume page 212 اختلفوا هل بين اللفظتين أعني الضرر والضرار فرق أم لا. يعني the scholars differed concerning these two expressions الضرر and الضرار. They differed as to whether or not these two expressions, there's a difference between them or there's no difference between them. يعني is there a difference between these two expressions or there's no difference between them. So the first opinion that he mentions are those scholars who say these two words have the same meaning, there's no difference between them. And then the next three yani interpretations of these two expressions are from those scholars who say they have different meanings, and those scholars differ about what is the difference between them. Okay, but the first group, they said these two words have the same meaning. He said there were some scholars who said huma bima'na wahid على وجه التأكيد, that they have the same meaning, but one of them is emphasizing the other. And it's just for emphasis. Yani that the meaning is repeated with another word for emphasis. Just for emphasis. But that they have the same meaning. والمشهور أن بينهما فرقا. But what is more well known is that there's a difference between these two expressions, that they do not have the same meaning, that each of them has its own meaning. Here he mentions various scholars who explained the difference between these two expressions, and each one of them explained it a little bit differently. Okay, what is the difference between these two meanings? So the first opinion is that they have the same meaning, But the word, the meaning is repeated for emphasis. Then he mentions three more yani views concerning these two words and what's the difference between them. So the first of this group who said that they have a different meaning, he said, it has been said, إِنَّ الدَّرَرْ هُوَ الْإِسْمُ وَالْضِرَارْ الْفِعْلُ. Yani some of the scholars said that the first word darar, it is a noun. And the second word dirar is a fi'l. فَالْمَعْنَى أَنَّ الدَّرَرْ نَفْسَهُ مُنْتَفٍ فِي الشَّرْءِ وَإِدْخَالَ الدَّرَرْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ يعني كذلك. يعني the meaning here is الدَّرَرْ, the first word. This word is the negation of there being anything harmful in the Sharia. And if there's nothing that Allah has legislated which is harmful, whether it's in ibadat, worship, or whether it's in mu'amalat, everything that Allah has legislated is free of causing any harm to the people. There's no harm in it. In nothing that Allah has legislated is there harm. So this is yani the meaning of the first word. Dara is ism. Yani means that it is negated in the Sharia. There's no possibility that there's something Allah legislated that caused harm to the people. The second word, he said, it means the fi'l. He said this means that a person causing harm to another person unjustly, unfairly, illegally, this is also something that is rejected by the Sharia. So, there's nothing, no act of worship or anything that Allah has legislated that brings harm to the people. That's the first word meaning, darar. And the second word means that no person is allowed to do something that will harm other people. No person is allowed to do an action that harms other people without yani a justification, without yani a legal, lawful right to do so. Nobody has the right to harm, to do something that causes harm to another person. So this is the second interpretation, yani the first of the interpretation of those scholars who said these words have different meanings. That one is the noun, the ism, which means that harming, there's no harm in what Allah has legislated. And the second one is the fi'l. It means that people are not allowed to do any action to cause harm to others. The next interpretation that of the scholars who said that there's a difference between these two words, it was said that الضرروا أن يدخل على غيره ضررا بما ينفع هو به. Yani that ad-darar, it means that a person causes harm to another person in a manner that they benefit from it. Yani they do something that harms other people, but it benefits them. There's some benefit in it for them. Okay? So they did something, it benefited themselves, but it caused harm to somebody else. That's the meaning of ad-darar. As far as ad-dirar, he said, it means أن يدخل على غيره ضررا بما لا منفعة له به. Yani that a person causes harm to another person in a way that he doesn't benefit from at all. And he does something, there's no benefit in it for him, and it causes harm to other people. What's the difference between the two? Both of them causing harm to somebody, but one of them is doing something to benefit themselves, but it harms somebody else. And the second one, they're doing something that harms somebody else, and they get no benefit from it. There's no benefit in it for them. They're just harming people, even though yani, there's no reason to do so, and no benefit for them in doing it. The other interpretation that he mentions here, and by the way, he mentions here an example for that, yani the example of a person for dirar, who causes harm to another person in a manner in which they don't benefit from it at all. And this is like a person who mana'a ma la yadurruhu وَيَتَضَرُّ بِهِ الْمَمْنُوعِ. And he does something, he prohibits, prevents something which is not harming him at all. He stops something that is not causing any harm to him. But by him stopping that, he caused harm to somebody else. That means that what? He did something that harmed somebody even though there was no benefit for him in it. And it wasn't harming him, it wasn't bothering him, it wasn't doing anything to him, but he prevented it. And as a result of him preventing it, he caused harm to somebody else. Caused harm to the person now who was prevented from whatever it was that they had access to. The Shaykh, he says here that this opinion here, that the difference between ad-darar and dirar, this opinion that the difference between ad-darar and dirar is that a dhara, is that a person causes harm to someone in a manner that benefits them, and dira is a person causes harm to someone in a manner that doesn't benefit them at all. He said this opinion was the opinion that was considered to be the stronger opinion by a group of scholars, from amongst them Ibn Abdul Barr and Ibn Salah rahimahullah, and two great scholars from the scholars of hadith. They were from a group of scholars who held that this view is the strongest view, that the meaning of a darar is that a person harms somebody in a way, in a manner that doesn't, and that benefits them. And dirar is they harm somebody in a manner that doesn't benefit them at all. It's just pure harming somebody without any reason to do so or any benefit coming to them. The last opinion that he mentions concerning the difference between these two words, ad-darar, أن يضر بمن لا يضره والضرار أن يضر بمن قد أضر به على وجه غير جائز. And he said that the first word الضرر, it means that you cause harm to someone who hasn't harmed him. He causes harm to somebody who has not done anything harmful to him. And the second meaning ضرار is that he causes harm to someone who has harmed him, but he goes beyond what is permissible in reciprocating. And instead of doing exactly to the person what they did to them, which would be permissible, that's qisas, they go above and beyond that. They do more harm than what was done to them. So here, the difference between these two words here, according to this view, this fourth view, is that ad-darar is the person who causes harm to someone who has not done anything to them. And the second one, he reciprocates. He harms the person who has harmed him, but he goes beyond the bounds. He doesn't just give back equal, yani, to what the person has done to him, but he goes beyond the bounds. So these are four interpretations that the Shaykh mentions. And then he mentions a little bit more detail, and then the benefits from the hadith. And then we'll look at another view, complete different view from Shaykh Saleh Fawzan. So, in summary, the four views that the Shaykh has mentioned here, yani what he conveyed or what he transmitted from Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, is number one, some of the scholars said these two words have the same meaning. There's no difference between them. The meaning is repeated just for the purpose of emphasizing it. Yani emphasizing, no harming. The other three interpretations all agree that these two words have different meanings, but they interpret them differently. Okay, so they said, one, that the meaning of ad-dara, it's al-ism, and ad-dira is al-fi'l, meaning that harming is not present in what Allah has legislated. There's nothing harmful in what Allah has legislated. The second meaning, dirar, is that people are prohibited from doing things that harm others. The next interpretation that they gave, which is the interpretation that a group of the scholars considered to be the strongest, including Ibn Abdul Barr and Ibn Salah, rahimahullah, he said that the difference between ad-darar and dirar is that ad-darar, it means that a person does something harmful to another person, but it's because they're getting some benefit from it. And the other, dirar, means a person does something that harms other people without any benefit at all from it. And the last interpretation is that ad-darar means that a person harms someone who didn't do anything to them. And the second, and dirar, means harming somebody who harmed you. You are reciprocating the harm, but you go beyond the bounds. After this, the Shaykh says, in any case, these are various interpretations of these two words. What is important in all of these interpretations is that they all talk about what? Prohibiting doing something harmful. Prohibiting doing something harmful. That the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen of Islam, yani prohibits us from causing harm to others, and unless we have a right according to what is legislated in the Sharia. Like a person kills somebody, it's permissible to have the state execute that person for murder. We're not talking about that. That a person does some harm to somebody, but because they have a right to do so, because the Sharia has yani legislated that. We're talking about people harming people unjustly, unfairly, unlawfully. So the Shaykh says, after mentioning these interpretations, he says, in any case, the Prophet ﷺ has nullified or negated ad-darar and dirar bighayri haq. Yani what he is talking about here is that it's not permissible to cause harm or to reciprocate in causing harm without a right to do so yani in the Sharia, without a right to do so. As far as causing harm to someone, and you have a right to do so, like the person who has transgressed the boundaries, the laws of Allah, and so they are punished according to yani what is due to them for their crime, then this is not what we're talking about here. He said, as far as the person who wrongs themselves and wrongs others, yani does dhulm to somebody, and the person who they did the dhulm to, yani requires that they be met with justice, that they get their due punishment according to the law of Islam, we're not talking about this. We're not talking about that. But rather, what we're talking about here, he said, is that a person brings harm to another person without any right to do so, without any justification, yani unlawfully, illegally, unjustifiably. And then he said, yani he closes by saying that this causing harm to a person بغير حق, without any right to do so, he said, it is of two types. It comes in two different ways. Causing harm to somebody unlawfully, illegally, unjustifiably, it happens in two different ways. And they're very different from one another. The first way, he said, and لا يكون في ذلك غرض سوى ضرب ذلك الغير. Yani the first way that this causing harm to somebody without a right to do so happens is that a person has no objective, no goal in causing harm to that person other than they just want to harm somebody. And they're just doing it because they're just evil. They have no objective. There's no reason for them doing this except that they want to harm somebody. And I mean, there's plenty of that, right? In this society, people getting killed every day with no reason whatsoever. They just want to kill somebody. It's not that somebody threatened their life and they defended themselves. No, they just want to cause harm to somebody. There's no objective, no goal, except simply to cause harm to another person. He said there's no doubt about the ugliness and the prohibition of such. Just causing somebody harm without any reason whatsoever. This, he said, it has been mentioned in the Quran, the prohibition of causing harm in a number of places. And one of them is in reference to the wasiyah that a person makes before they die. Yani to allot something from their property or their wealth that they may leave behind after their death for someone, the wasiyah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 12th Ayah, مِنْ بَعْدِ وَصِيَّةٍ يُوصَى بِهَا أَوْ دَيْنٍ غَيْرَ مُضَارٍ. That, yani the wealth, inheritance should be distributed after the wasiyah, after the wasiyah that a person wrote to give somebody part of their wealth, after that is taken care of, and any debt that they have is taken care of, then the inheritance, what remains, should be distributed yani غير مضار, without causing harm to anybody. Yani everybody should get their just share. So there are other places in the Quran also that mention the prohibition of causing harm in the marriage relations, for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 231, and in the rules or the laws related to suckling a child in Surah Al-Baqarah as well, Ayah 233, also mention yani that there should be no harming another party in doing so. The first way that harming somebody without a right occurs is that a person has no objective in what they're doing except they want to harm somebody. The second way that it occurs is a lot different, the Shaykh says. That Ibn Rajab goes on to say, rahimahullah, the second type or the second manner in which this happens, أن يكون له غرض آخر صحيح, that a person does have an objective other than harming somebody. That's not their objective. They have another objective, and that objective is valid, it's legitimate. And if they have a goal or objective in what they're doing to achieve something, that's legitimate. But it so happens that what they did caused harm to somebody else. The intention is not to harm somebody. The intention is to do something else. That's legitimate, but it caused harm to somebody else. He says that this is another way in which a person might cause harm to somebody that's also prohibited. It's not permissible. Even though it wasn't the intent to cause harm, but nonetheless it's still yani is not permissible and it has to be corrected or fixed if it can be fixed. He said this is that a person has a different objective that is valid, like the person who utilizes their wealth or their property in a way that is in their interest. There's a benefit in what they're doing and how they're utilizing their own property or wealth. And there's a benefit for them in doing so. But in doing whatever they did with their own property to benefit themselves, it caused harm to somebody else. It caused harm to somebody else. And this is not permissible. And it's not permissible for you to utilize that which you own and possess for your interest and in your benefit in a way that will cause harm to somebody else. That's not permissible. In another explanation, some of the scholars mentioned an example of this is like a person who sets a fire to something on their property, to burn something on their property. But it's on a windy day, a stormy day, and the wind blows the fire to their neighbor's property and burns something down. What they're doing is legitimate. It's permissible. They don't intend to harm nobody. But it's not permissible for you to utilize what you possess and own in a manner that causes harm to other people. Even though that's not your intent, it's not permissible to do so. He said also it's possible that another way that this occurs is that a person prevents someone from benefiting from that which they own. Yani you are preventing somebody from benefiting from your wealth, from your property, from your goods, because you want to save it for yourself. But it causes harm to the person that you prevented from utilizing whatever you own or possess that they were benefiting from. Yani benefiting in a lawful, legal way, but it's your property and you now decided that they're not going to benefit from this anymore, and it caused harm to them. This is also prohibited. Yani the meaning here is that what? That a person, even though they have a legitimate right to utilize what they own and possess, they shouldn't utilize it in a way that causes harm to other people. They should not do that. Because the Sharia of Islam prohibits harming of any type or reciprocating harm, except the person who has a right according to the Sharia. Okay, the Shaykh ends with this, and he mentions 2 points from this hadith, and then we're going to look at this explanation of Shaykh Salih Fazan, which comes from a totally different angle. He says from this hadith there are two benefits. The first benefit is bayan kamal al-sharia wa husniha fi rafa' darr wal-idrar. Yani this hadith is a clarification of the perfection of the sharia and the excellence of the sharia in removing ad-darr wal-idrar, yani harming or reciprocating harm. Yani the sharia rejects this, negates it, yani doesn't allow it. So this shows the perfection of the Sharia and its excellence. Then he says the second point, أَنَّ عَلَى الْمُسْلَمْ أَلَّا يَدُرَّ غَيْرَهُ وَلَا يُدَارَّهُ. Yani that a Muslim, it is incumbent upon a Muslim that he not or she not harm anyone else. Yani whether it's coming from one way, harming somebody without any reason, or reciprocating harm. Yani does somebody harm you and you are retaliating. A Muslim should not harm another person, any outright, straight up, or in reciprocating harm. Sheikh Salih Fawzan deals with this point in a little bit more detail. Yani, like, how can you say that it's prohibited for a Muslim to reciprocate harm? Well, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad, in his explanation, the last interpretation of these two words, he said that it's prohibited for a person to reciprocate in harming somebody if they go beyond the bounds. That reciprocating is prohibited. Yani that you go beyond the bounds. But retaliation, yani qisas, yani harming a person in the same way that they harmed you, the like for like is permissible. It's permissible. But going beyond the bounds is not permissible. So that is one way of interpreting this. Sheikh Salih Fawzan interprets it in another way. We're going to look at that just quickly. And this is the fourth interpretation of yani the interpretation of these two words. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad, he mentions the last interpretation is what? That ad-darar means you should not initiate harming somebody else, and ad-dirar means you should not go beyond the bounds if you are reciprocating, if you are retaliating to somebody that harmed you. You have the right to retaliate according to the law, but you don't have a right to go above and beyond. Yani if the person hit you in your head with a stick and you hit them back 10 times with a stick, that's going beyond the bounds. And of course it has to be under the law, under the Sharia, under the government. This is not lawlessness in the streets. But yes, there is qisas. And if a person harms somebody, then they have a right to have them punished equally in the same way. So that interpretation is what? That a person, when they reciprocate, they can't go above and beyond. They can only have that person punished or hurt in the same way that yani it was done to them. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he opens up this discussion with an interpretation of the meaning of the two ways in this hadith were narrated. One of them was narrated musnadan, and the other one, Imam Malik, narrated Mursalin. So he explains these interpretations. He said that this hadith came from two different isnads, and he said one of them is musnad, means it's attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning from a companion. The second one is mursal, means the companion is not mentioned. Yani the tabi'i, the second generation person in the isnad, narrates, attributes to the Prophet without mentioning the companion. In this case, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. This is what Imam Nawawi mentioned. He says it like that. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says the mursal is ma rawahu at-tabi'i an rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wal musnad ma rawahu as-sahabi an rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani that the mursal is a tabi'i narrating from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the musnad is a sahabi, a companion narrating from the Prophet. This hadith, he said, is qawi, and it has many different chains of narration that strengthen one another, as mentioned by the author, and some of them strengthen one another. Then the Shaykh goes to mention two interpretations of these two words. The first of them is what we mentioned initially from the previous discussion. He said, the meaning of la darara wa la dirara, it has been said that la faraqa baynahuma, there's no difference. That both of these words mean the same thing. But here, ad-dirar is mentioned after dara, yani just as a means of emphasizing, the ta'akid, to emphasize the meaning. So that's the first interpretation that we mentioned before from the previous discussion. And then he goes on to mention another interpretation, which is a little bit different than any of what we mentioned before. So he says, the first interpretation, the scholar said that these two words have no difference, that ad-dirar means the same as ad-dara, is just mentioned for emphasis. And then he says, ad-darar, yani itself, the word ad-darar, it is that a person is doing something that's harmful to someone else or causing them some loss, yani some decrease in what they own or possess. And then the Shaykh now goes to give us a different angle for this hadith. Al-matloob anna al-insan yanfa' wa la yadur. Yanfa' nafsahu wa yanfa' al-nas. Wa la yadurru nafsahu wa la yadurru ahad. فَدِدُّ الدَّرَرِ النَّفْعَ. This interpretation of the hadith, the Shaykh says, this hadith is telling us that what is required, what is desired, what is requested is that a human being benefit and not harm. And the meaning of this hadith is that the Muslim benefits and doesn't harm. He benefits himself and he benefits the people. He doesn't harm himself and he doesn't harm anyone. Yani the opposite of ad-darar, harming, is nafa, benefiting. So this is how Shaykh Salih Fawzan is interpreting this hadith, that what is intended here is that from the akhlaq, the character of a Muslim, is that they benefit themselves and others, and they don't harm themselves or others. Then he says, it has been said, in terms of the difference between these two words, he only gives one interpretation of the difference between these two words. He says, qila, أن بين الضرر والضرار فرقا, that there is a difference between these two words. الضرر, it is يعني من جانب واحد, it's from one side, يعني one person is just harming somebody else. There's not reciprocation here, just a person initiating harming somebody else. So he said that the meaning of here لا ضرر, it means that you must not harm other people. That's the meaning of الضرر, you must not harm other people. أما الضرار, this word indicates that there's musharaka, that there's some yani involvement from two sides. Yani two people are involved in the harming. It comes from janibain. Yani there's somebody initiating harm or there's somebody reciprocating harm. That's the meaning of ad-dirar. Ad-dirar, one person is just causing harm to others. Ad-dirar, yani there's reciprocation. Two people are engaged in this activity. Shaykh says, so what is intended here? فَأَنْكَ لَا تَضُرُّ مَنْ يَضُرُّكَ. And in this meaning of dirar, it means that you should not reciprocate. You should not harm the person who harms you. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. Shaykh is saying what? أَنْتَ لَا تَضُرُّ مَنْ ضَرَّكَ. And that the meaning of this hadith here, the second part of the meaning is what? That you shouldn't harm, yani reciprocate in harming the person who has harmed you. بَلْ قَابِلْهُ بِالْإِحْسَانِ وَالْعَفُوْ وَالصَّفْحِ وَهَذَا مِنْ أَخْلَاقِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Rather, the harm that came to you, you meet it with goodness, with pardoning, with overlooking. And this is from the character of the believers. That you pardon, that you forgive, that you overlook the harm that has been done to you. Instead of reciprocating, you pardon and you forgive. What do you think? We wasn't raised up like that. The human being is not raised like that. That's not from the nature of the human being. But this is from the akhlaq al-mu'mineen. And this is what we learn in Islam. Even though our nature may be inclined that somebody harms you, your nature, and if the normal human being, most people, their nature is, gotta get you back. That's natural. And it's permissible. In the law of Islam, person harms you, it's permissible to harm them back. But the Shaykh is saying that even though that's permissible, what's better than that is that you pardon and forgive. Yani, if every normal Muslim, and I think people, would like that Allah would pardon and forgive them, then what better way to earn Allah's pardon and forgiveness? That you pardon and forgive others. Okay, so the Shaykh, this is his explanation of the hadith. This is how he explains it. And he goes on to give some proofs to help us to understand why we should be doing like this. That why we should not be reciprocating harm. Why this is from the akhlaq, the character and manners of the believers, the people of Iman. He mentions from Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 40th Ayah, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So whoever pardons, when somebody has wronged them, whoever pardons and reconciles, then his reward, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. His reward is with Allah. And if a person has a right to reciprocate, but he doesn't, he pardons for the sake of Allah, his reward is with Allah. And a great reward will be with Allah. So this, he said, is like the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, أَدِّي الْأَمَانَ إِلَى مَنْ اَعْتَمَنَكَ وَلَا تَخُنْ مَنْ خَانَكَ. Yani, fulfill the trust that has been, people entrusted you, fulfill that trust, and don't be treacherous. Don't violate the trust when somebody has trusted you. Because somebody else violated trust, that you shouldn't, that doesn't mean that you should act like them. So the principle here, al-qaida, the Shaykh says, أن القصاص جائز وهو عدل ولكن العفو أحسن لأنه فضل. This is a qaida that, inshallah, we can memorize if we see it in writing, right? أن القصاص جائز وهو عدل. That reciprocating, retaliating in like is permissible. وَهُوَ عَدْلٌ. And it's justice. وَلَكِنَ الْعَفْوَ. But pardoning is أحسن, is better. لِأَنَّهُ فَضْلٌ. Retaliating is permissible because it's عَدْل, it's justice. But pardoning is better because it's فَضْل. And it means the person is doing a favor for somebody else. And he's being gracious and kind to them. This is better. Being kind and pardoning and forgiving is better than retaliating, even though retaliation is permissible. Then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, same surah Ash-Shura. Actually, he mentions what came before those words, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The reward or the recompense for an evil deed done is evil like it. Is evil like it. A person did something evil to you, the recompense for them is the same, the like of it. The recompense for an evil is the evil like it. هذا قصاص. This is قصاص. This is the law of retaliation. Person did an evil, they get the same thing back. That's what Allah mentioned in the beginning of the ayah. And then after that he said, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. But whoever pardons, instead of retaliating, and rectifies and reconciles, then their reward is with Allah. So the qisas, the retaliation, is jaiz, permissible. Wal'afu ahsan, but pardoning is better. So if harm comes to you from someone, then do not meet them, return to them the like of what they did to you. But what is better, is to pardon and forgive, and this is more effective in bringing about love and affection between the people. Because this person that you have pardoned, you have overlooked their fault or their error or their wrong that they did, will become a friend to you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another surah, Surah Al-Fussilat, 41st surah, 34th and 35th ayat, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَى بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا to the end of the ayat, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. So the Shaykh says, you know, the proof for this is the saying of Allah that لَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَالسَّيِّئَةُ, yani that good and evil are not equal. There's a tremendous difference between doing a good deed in obedience to Allah for the pleasure of Allah and doing an evil deed in disobedience to Allah and earning the displeasure of Allah. There's a difference between al-hasana and al-sayyah. Therefore, when a person does evil to you, he said, idfa billati ahsan. Yani repulse that evil with that which is better. Yani with good, not with the like of it. Repulse it with that which is good. And if you were to do so, he said, then the one between him and you there is adawa, enmity, that person will become like a wali hamim. Yani like a close, dear, near friend. Yani you will overcome them by the pardoning and forgiving. And then Allah says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. And nobody will be able to accept this advice and act upon this advice. Nobody will be given success in being able to do this unless they have patience. Unless they have patience. Shaykh says, هَذِهِ الْقَصْلَ لَا تَحْصُلْ لِكُلِّ أَحَدٍ. Yani this is a characteristic or quality of not just pardoning, but rather reciprocating to the harm with good. Yani doing good to a person who did evil to you. This is a characteristic, he said, that will not be achieved by everyone. Rather, this will only be achieved by the people who have sabr, who have patience. So the one who doesn't have patience will not pardon the wrong that has been done to them. They will not pardon people. The one who doesn't have sabr. As far as the one who has sabr, this is the one who will pardon. And that's because pardoning the one who did evil to you is something extremely difficult upon the nafs. It's difficult. It's not easy. Somebody wronged you and you pardon them. That's extremely difficult. Not to mention that you not only pardon them, but actually return good to them for the evil they did to you. That's even another level altogether. He said this pardoning requires patience. And the human being in his nature, he requires, he seeks, yani, retaliation. That's the nature of a human being. So giving up this retaliation requires a person to have a high level of patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the ayah that we mentioned previously, the end of it, that no one will achieve this. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. No one will achieve this except the people who have patience. No one will be granted success in doing this except the people who have patience. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And no one, yani, will accept this advice and be successful in acting upon it except the person who will get a great portion of the pleasure of Allah and the reward of Allah in this world and in the next life. So if a person wants the excellence of pardoning, then they must be patient. And they must not obey their nafs, which is requiring them to take revenge and to retaliate against the person who harmed them. In light of this interpretation, the Shaykh says, then the meaning, and Allah knows best, the meaning of la darara is min tarafin wahid, that the harm is coming from one person without anything precipitating it. Yani there's not a person just initiates harming somebody else. So he says, the meaning here, la darar, don't harm other people. Just as you are not pleased that somebody harms you, so don't be pleased with harming your brothers. Just as you are not pleased with somebody doing evil to you, then don't do evil to other people. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ, that no one of you has complete and perfect iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And then the Shaykh closes this discussion. He mentions the second word in this hadith, la dirar, yani la dirar. He said it is yani the harming that comes from two sides, min tarafain. Yani there are two people engaged in this activity of harming. There's somebody initiating the harm and there's somebody responding to them. So he says in this hadith the meaning of la dirar. La dirar means إِذَا أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ أَحَدْ فَالْأَحْسَنْ أَنْ تُقَابِلَهُ بِتَرْكَ الْإِنْتِقَامُ وَتَرْكَ الْضَرَرُ وَأَنْ تَسْتَعْمَلْ الْعَفْوَ وَهَذَا يُنْشِرُ الْمَحَبَّةِ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَيُصْبِحُ الْمَعَفُو عَنْهُ أَصِيرًا لَكَ وَيَخْجَلُ مِنْ فِعْلِهِ. Yani, the meaning of the second part of this hadith, لا درارة, he said, it means that there are two people engaged in this activity. So if somebody does something harmful to you, then what is better is that you meet them by giving up the revenge, by giving up the retaliation, by not returning harm, but rather pardoning. And this will spread love between the people, and the person who has been pardoned will become like they are slave to you. Meaning that they will now be يعني, shy. They will be careful of their behavior. After you have pardoned them, they will be careful how they will act towards you. And then he mentions poetry, which has that meaning. I'm going to skip the interpretation of the poetry, but the poetry has this kind of meaning, that there's nothing any more deadly to a free person except other than that you pardon them, pardoning them. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, in one of the tafsirs of this ayah, of one of these ayats, he says that there's no better way to respond to the person who committed a sin, an act of disobedience to Allah in the way that they dealt with you. They committed a sin in dealing with you. There's no better way to respond to them than to be obedient to Allah in the way you deal with them. And if a person does something evil to you in disobedience to Allah, and you respond to them by obedience to Allah. The Shaykh closes here by saying, this is a qaida azima, a tremendous, magnificent principle from the principles of al-akhlaq, good character, and ta'amul ma'anas, and how we interact with people. So it is incumbent upon the human being to avoid harming, no matter whether they are the one who initiates the harm or they are the one who are reciprocating, yani taking revenge or retaliation to someone who has harmed them. He said it is incumbent upon the human being to avoid harming, whether initiating the harm or reciprocating the harm. فَالْمُسْلَمْ يَسِيرُ عَلَى هَذَا وَيَكُونُ مَحْبُوبًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَعِنْدَ خَلْقِهِ. So the Muslim must travel on this path, and in that way he will be beloved with Allah, and he will be beloved to the people. Naam. Any questions or any comments or any corrections? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.